Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Sometimes it's really good for us just to go back and look at the basics. You know, people have a hard time sometimes figuring out what sin is. And it shouldn't be hard because the Bible is explicit about it. Nevertheless, because we don't always read our Bibles, maybe we get caught in something that we're doing that we don't want to consider as sin, we forget. So let's look today and find out what the Bible says about sin. What sin is. You know, the Bible's very clear on the subject of sin. You really don't have to guess what it is, because the Lord tells you explicitly. So we're going to look at the verses today. First of all, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 4. The Bible says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law." Watch it. "For sin is the transgression of the law." So you say, well, what is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law, breaking the law. You know, don't mind right now that some people tell you not to pay attention to the law since you're not under the law. And the reason you don't want to be talked out of paying attention to the law is that Paul is careful to mention it. Jesus Christ is careful to mention it. And the law is a great guide for your life. Paul, in Romans chapter 13, is, you know, carrying on with his discourse to the Romans, of course. And he says this. In Romans 13:8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Verse 9, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." When Jesus Christ was asked, what's the great commandment? He said, well, the great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like thereunto, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hang all the law and the prophets. And so you get a clear understanding that Jesus Christ, he said, I didn't come to do anything but to fulfill the law. There was some concern that maybe he had come to break the law or to destroy the law or something like that. He said, I didn't come to do that. I came to fulfill the law. And so he did. Now listen, to live your life as a Christian without regard to the law is what some people call antinomianism. That is, you're just a loose cannon on deck. You can do anything you want to and claim liberty in Christ. I want to ask you something. As a Christian, are you to commit adultery? Is it all right for you to commit adultery? You say, well, no. Why is it not all right for you to commit adultery? You say, well, that's a sin. I say, good. How did you know that? Because the Bible says and the law says thou shalt not commit adultery, right? Let me ask you something as a Christian. Is it all right for you to steal? You say, well, of course it's not all right for me to steal. You say, why is that so? He said, because stealing is wrong. It's a sin. So where'd you get that idea? Well, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Where'd you find that? In the law. You see, when Paul gives us the rundown and basically says, if you love your neighbor, and Jesus Christ said, if you love your neighbor, you fulfill the law. Why? Because if you really love them, you won't steal from them, you won't kill them, you won't commit adultery against them, you won't lie to them, and you won't covet. All right? So when in 1 John, when John says sin is the transgression of the law, that didn't change with Christ. It still is the transgression of the law. That's how you know what it is. And so you have to be very careful not to just turn your back on all that God said there when he gave you all of those commandments, all right, so you would understand what sin is and would stay away from sin. Amen. Sin is the breaking of the law, but that's not all. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Turn to 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. Well, there it is. I mean, in other words, somebody says, well, what is sin? Well, it's breaking the law. It is all unrighteousness. Bob Jones Sr.'s solution for this sin was a simple two-word admonition. And it was repeated over and over again to his students. And by his students, it was repeated over and over again to them that they trained. I was trained under a man that was trained by Bob Jones Sr. And I heard over and over again the two-word admonition. You know what it is? Do right. Do right. Just do the right thing. So often Christians are tempted to do something wrong. And in that temptation, they're hoping that God will somehow bless them in the wrong thing they're doing. God cannot bless sin. Listen, anything that's not right, all unrighteousness is sin, all right? Pretending to be humble when you're not is sin. Pretending to be spiritual when you're not is sin. Why? Because you're putting on what the Bible calls dissimulation. You're putting on the appearance that you are something that you're really not. That's unrighteous. That's sin. And so, you know, like a fellow said, if it's not right, don't do it. If it's right, do it. If it's not right, don't do it. If you can't quit, kick yourself around the block. That's the way it was told me. You say, well, man, that means there are a lot of things in life that are sin. Absolutely. You see, Christians have become very casual about sin. Is it right to show up to work late and yet claim that you put in your full day? I'm asking you. I'm not going to give you the answer. Is it right? I mean, go to your employer and say, now, you know, for the last 5 years, I've taken extended lunch breaks. I've come in late. You're paying me for an 8-hour day, but I've not been putting in an 8-hour day. Is that right? And let him tell you. And if he says, you know, that's not right at all, sin. He said, well, I'm not going to ask. I don't want to know. You have to really be careful. Is it right to speed? Is it right to run stop signs? Is it right to just fill in, you know, those blanks on our conduct? I'm just naming some common areas. Is it right? No, it's not right. Okay, then if it's not right, it's sin. You say, wow, there are a lot of things. Yeah, there are a lot of things. All unrighteousness is sin. All right, here's another one. Turn with me to James chapter 2, verse 9. James chapter 2, verse 9. What's sin? What's sin? Sin is partiality among people. James chapter 2, verse 9. If you have respect to persons, you commit sin. And are convinced of the law as transgressors. Well, what's going on there? This is common among professing Christians. They don't want church members on whom they're going to have to spend some money or some time. Deacons are selected because they give a lot of money. Partiality among people. They have a sense of denominational pride. They say, okay, well, I'm Southern Baptist, and so the best Christians are Southern Baptists. We look down on the Methodists who are truly saved, or something like that. Or Methodists who are truly saved look at Southern Baptists and say, well, you know, there's something wrong with them. Or a charismatic looks at a person who's not, and they think, well, this is a second-rate Christian because they don't do what we do in our church. There's all kinds of partiality among Christians. And the Bible says, if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And I was talking to a fellow the other day, and we have a mutual friend, a mutual acquaintance, who happens to be very wealthy, and we were talking about the difficulty of preaching the gospel to this individual and the difficulty of this individual realizing his need of Jesus Christ. And my friend said, you know, his soul is no more valuable to Jesus Christ than the soul of a homeless man. And we never can lose sight of that. And that's true. Should we be more concerned about somebody that we know because, you know, of their status or their stature than we are of somebody that we don't want to even give the time of day? The Lord said you need to watch out for that. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for every soul. And it's very important for us when we're concerned ourselves with preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we don't show partiality from one to the other. Maybe the person is not of your same race, or maybe the person is not of the same social status. The soul is just as important to God as any soul. He died for all of us. So partiality among people is a sin. If you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Let's go back to James chapter 4 and look at verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Here's another one. Unfulfilled good intentions. The Bible says in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There it is again, defined for you. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. When you see someone who has a legitimate need, and you have the ability to help that person meet that legitimate need, you know what you need to do? You need to help them. We need to do good to all men, Paul told Timothy, especially they of the household of faith. So he says you can't exclude some of those. Sometimes by doing something that's nice and beneficial for somebody who's not saved, you actually open the door of the gospel to them. You should never have to say, well, I meant to do whatever the good thing is for some person, but I just never got around to it. When you talk to people and you ask them, has there ever been a time when you knew that there was something good you should have done and you didn't do it? And instantly, they don't even have to think about it. Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah, sure has. Well, it's important for us to understand that it's a sin. And the reason that it's important for us to understand that it's a sin is twofold. One, because it makes it more compelling that we should go ahead and do it, particularly if we're saved. But the other reason is that a lot of times people who are not saved really have a hard time with the concept of sin. They think in terms of, well, I've never killed anybody, and I've never stolen anything, and I've never committed adultery, and so, yeah, I think God's going to let me into heaven because they haven't committed these big sins that are among those that are in the Ten Commandments. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he had witnessed to a guy, and the guy was teary-eyed during the witness, and my friend asked him, said, why are you teary-eyed? He said, because I realize I have broken every commandment on the list of 10. Wow. And it really floored him. You know, most people are not that honest. But anyway, so a person who says, well, I've never shot anybody, so I feel like I'm a good person, needs to understand that sin is a lot more than just killing somebody, although that's bad. It's all unrighteousness. It's partiality among people. It's unfulfilled good intentions. In other words, not the act of commission in this case, but the act of omission. I intended to do something that I didn't do. And, oh, I tell you what, the list of those is long. Because there are a lot of times when you know there's somebody that has a need, you think, well, I'm going to get around to it, and you don't. There are a lot of people who are in that case. You know, we have to think. It's just so easy to get wrapped up in our own minds. But we have to think there are people sometimes that need a lift to the doctor, maybe need the yard mowed, perhaps a widow. Oil changed, might need some sort of help, maybe not enough food in the cupboard to last the month, run out of money, got to put a little food on the table. You know, it's not wrong to do good to some people. It really isn't. And unfulfilled good intentions never accomplish anything. You can say you can feel good about it. Yeah, I thought about doing that. But it's nothing to feel good about if the person that you could have helped didn't get the help they needed. Okay? Now, I realize that you have to be wise about these matters because there are people who are professionals that know how to get to you. I realize there are children who present themselves as being very needy when the problem is that they're just not taking care of their own business. I read a book recently about John Wooden, and it had to do with the power of mentoring. And he said one of the worst things that you can do for your family is to do something for them that they can and should do for themselves. So just because you have a good intention, it may not be the best thing for you to do. So I do say exercise some wisdom there. If your son is still not working and he needs to work, it's not good for you, okay, to keep paying the bill when he can pay the bill and he should pay the bill. He's just too lazy to work. That's not good for him. And that's not what this sin is talking about here at all. This is talking about somebody with a legitimate need, and you have the legitimate ability to help them in that need, and you refuse to do it because you thought it would be a good idea, but you were waiting on somebody else to step up and take care of it. See, there's a lot of things in the Bible that you don't think about. Romans chapter 14, here's another good one. Well, I say good one, good definition. No sin is good, of course. Romans chapter 14, and this has to do with doubt. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat. Now, he's not talking about going to hell. What he's talking about here is that there's somebody that's weak of faith and he really believes that he has to eat a certain diet. There's somebody of strong of faith and realizes that God has cleansed everything and he's eating everything. And so what Paul is saying is that a man shouldn't condemn himself in the thing which he alloweth. And then he goes on to say, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Watch it, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Doubt. You know, that adage is true. If you're not sure about it, don't do it. If there's any doubt, don't. You know, with all the talk about faith, it's incredible how much of the Christian life is lived apart from faith. The just shall live by faith, the Bible says. Walk by faith and not by sight. That's the way we're supposed to walk. But man, I'll tell you what. We are a Christian lot that really, really wants to see it. I mean, we want to see it. We want to know it's going to work out before we get involved. And there is not a lot of Christian life lived by faith these days. I mean, when you consider the big ministries, I mean the big name ministries that are around, they're in debt up to their ears and they're begging for money. It troubles me. I realize when a person has a listener-supported or viewer-supported ministry, it takes a tremendous amount of money to run that ministry. I understand that. And I understand also that when they run those ministries and it takes a lot of money, they're looking to the viewers, they're looking to the listeners to give them the money, and they, I guess, feel compelled from time to time to remind them that we are on the air because of your gifts and your prayers. But then all of a sudden June or September rolls around and said, this is the end of our fiscal year, and we really need 1,000 of you to send us $1,000 each because we got a bunch of bills here that need to be paid. We got to catch up, and they'll talk about downturns in the economy and all that. And I'm thinking now, wait a minute, where's the faith in that? Because if you're living and exceeding, if you're exceeding the provisions of God, if you've exceeded the provisions of God in your life, and you could have lived within those provisions, then where's the faith? I'm wondering how much junk goes into the mouths of Christians that God didn't give them the faith to eat or smoke or dip or chew or drink. Do you understand? Can you bow your head and thank God for what it is you're about ready to eat? Can you bow your head and thank God for the way that you've been handling your finances? Lord says when you're in doubt about those matters, you are in sin. Proverbs 24, verse 9. Proverbs 24, 9. Yep, there are a lot of Christians who smoke and dip and drink and all that other kind of stuff, and then they got some sort of justice, they got some sort of thing going on between them and God. But I want to ask you something. You really believe you could stand up there and face God face to face at the judgment seat of Christ with a big old dip of chaw in your mouth and spit that at his feet and say, bless God, that sure was good serving you down there in the world, Lord. That sure was a good thing, bless God. Or blow a big old puff of smoke right in his face, or throw up your beer. You think it'd work face to face with you? Say, well, I wouldn't dare. All right, then. Probably not a faith. And if it's not a faith, it's sin, even though you think it's okay to do. Proverbs 24, verse 9, the Bible says, the thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. The thought of foolishness is sin. Wow. Ooh. We're all dead. I mean, most of the trouble about which Christians worry, and, you know, that's a sin, never comes to pass. They just think it's going to happen. And you know what that is? That's foolishness. To think about how others are praising you, it's foolishness. To go over in your mind over and over again with some conversation that you had the day before, you know, I should have said this, and man, I was such a fool to say that. You know what? That's all foolish thoughts. Why? You can't replay the event. You can't go and take it back. You can't somehow spin it in your mind and make yourself the hero of the story. Because if you're not, you're not. To go back and think about something that happened to you with your parents, or something that happened with your siblings, or something that happened with your spouse several years ago, those are foolish thoughts. You can't do anything about it. It's over. It's past. It is done. Now, I realize we all do this, but we have to catch ourselves. We have to stop and say, this is foolish for me to waste my day daydreaming. Foolish thoughts to play over in your mind a conversation you're going to have with somebody that you're afraid of. And you say, now when he says this, I'm going to say that. And when I say that, he's probably going to say this. And boy, if he says that, I'm really going to jump down his throat there. Now, if he says this over here, well, then I might forgive him. But more than likely, I know how he talks. He's going to say this over here. Now, you've played out this long conversation in your head about how the conversation's going to go. And it doesn't go that way. And you've absolutely wasted your emotional energy, your mental energy, you could have been praying the entire time, but you've wasted all of that having this silly conversation in your head. Nobody else was in the room. You got yourself all worked up. You came in with some sort of an expectation. The conversation goes way differently than you expected, and because you were all riled up, it went worse than you expected. All of that is the result of foolish thoughts, and all of that is sin. He said, man, I never thought about it. Well, think about it. Christ died for these things. He died for our transgressions against the law. He died for our unrighteousness. He died for our hypocrisy, our partiality among people, our bigotry. He died for our unfulfilled good intentions. He died for the things we do that we doubt, that don't live by faith. He died for these foolish thoughts. Cut it out. I'll show you another one, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, pride and arrogancy. The Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 4, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now look at that verse. Even the work that a lost man does, regardless how good he is sin. The plowing of the wicked. Plowing is good work. Preparing the soil for the planting of a seed, well, that takes a lot of work, and it's good work. Salt of the earth, we say. But I'm going to tell you something. When that man is a wicked man, plowing of the wicked is sin. You say, well, he's not a wicked man. He's a good man. Yeah, he may be. But if he's not saved, his wickedness has not been covered by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's sin. Isn't that a regard? Isn't that an amazing thing? For a Christian, the secret pride of success and appearance is sin. That's right. And I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of Christians who are very proud of what they do and say and how they look. They would never tell you that, and they would never use the word pride. But if you'll look in the mirror and be honest with yourself, you might find truly, in fact, that you do have a high look or a proud heart. Now listen, pride and arrogancy, foolish thoughts, doubt, unfulfilled good intentions, partiality among people, all unrighteousness, breaking the law. These are not what you ordinarily think of when you think about sin. Most people just usually refer to one or more of the commandments when somebody asks them about the definition of sin. All those definitions are covered under the first point, breaking the law. These other six items cover a lot more ground than that. And you know what you and I need to do? We need to strive to limit these sins in our lives. That's right. And be aware of them. Now let me say this as we close. A preacher once gave five stages of sin. And I want to ask you to ask yourself this question. In which stage do you actually sin? All right, here they are. Presentation, where the opportunity to sin is made available. Illumination, where you get some light on the sin. Like, for instance, if you were thinking about stealing something, suddenly the verse comes back to mind, let him that stole steal no more. That's illumination. Debate. That's where you work it over in your mind, trying to decide whether you're going to commit the sin or not. Decision. That's when you make up your mind to do it. Action. That's where you actually commit the sin, where you act on the decision to sin. Now, in which of these stages do you think you've committed the sin? Most people will say, well, when I do it. And some may say, well, when I decide to do it. But the truth of the matter is, you sin in the third stage. You sin when you begin to debate about it. That's right. I mean, you can't help the presentation of sin. I'm telling you, those things come at you continually. You can't, and certainly you want illumination on the sin. You want to know what the Bible says about it. This is wrong. But when you start mulling it over in your mind, trying to decide whether or not you ought to act on it, that's when you've sinned. In other words, it is important to realize that sin occurs long before you act on it. Jesus said that sins like murder and adultery actually occur in your heart without you acting on them or even deciding to commit them. So listen, with all we've said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And may God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.